Again, I want to express the appreciation of myself and my good wife, Charlene, for you good folks giving us the opportunity to be here this evening. It's been a great blessing today to see all these good folks, to have this wonderful meal. I mean, what a thing to ask somebody to give you a good meal like that and then say, "Now get up and talk, boy." I'm reminded of a very, very great poem or writing that I do not want you people to observe if you don't mind, but it goes as follows: "Now I lie me down to sleep, the sermon's long and subject deep. If he should stop before I wake," somebody give me a little shake. Now, forget that. Leave that behind you. Stay with me for just a few minutes, and we're just going to talk about a few things. Last summer, I had a very, very serious surgery, surgery for diverticulitis. And when they got in, things just went sideways. And so we had a very difficult surgery, somewhat difficult recovery. And then I managed to get an infection. Had it not been for Geraine and my good wife, Charlene, I honestly don't know if I'd have made it here or not, if I'd have been here with us. But those good ladies blessed me, and the doctors blessed me. And so I look at the upcoming surgery as mere nothing. I'm not worried about it at all. The good Lord will bless me. I'll be able to be back and be in the pulpit as soon as possible. One thing that happened, though, right before that surgery, I knew I was going to be out for a while. I knew I would not be able to preach. I knew I would not be able to mow my yard, and I love to mow my yard, but I wasn't going to be able to. So I called a Hispanic gentleman over. We knew their company, and I'm standing there, brethren, and try to envision this as you can. I'm trying to show him the border, the line between me and my neighbor. Here's where you mow. This is mine. Hasta mi Propertio. I couldn't think of my Spanish words. I lost it. I had Spanish 2 years in high school, 60-some years ago. But I'm trying to talk to this gentleman. I'm trying to gesticulate. And you know how we do when we don't know a language. We're just carrying on something awful. And the man stopped me. And he looked and he said, "Where the yard is different?" Different. And I looked. And my grass was sown a little bit differently. It was mown a little bit differently. Yes, it looked different. Now, here's the thing. The Bible teaches us, Leviticus 10:10, that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. Now, we know what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people. Now, folks look at that differently sometimes and they kind of misunderstand. What's that mean? You call me peculiar. Well, you're different. You are God's particular people. I look around me today and I see some youngsters, and I'm very grateful that you stayed or your folks chose to stay. God bless you for doing that. You are the church of the future. You know, I got up here this morning and I talked about 37 years ago. And you young folks have no concept. You said 37, that's a century. That's forever. If you've lived to be my age and older, no, it's not. No, it's absolutely not. Before I retired from teaching, Brother Russell, I got to the point where it really didn't bother me to start a new school year. I knew it'd be over with before it turned around. Now, not to the youngsters, but as you get older, time passes that way. Now, I want you young people to think about this. I want you parents and grandparents to encourage these young people, because when they have friends and family day at Smyrna in 30 or 40 years, they'll be the ones in charge of it, right? They'll be the ones directing it. Proverbs 1:15, "My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Some of you young folks are going to go off to college, or you're going to move to other communities and other cities. You're going to see things that are different. You're going to see things, you're going to see people doing things. You thought, people can't live like that. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. I'm telling you, I look out across the crowd right now. I looked out across the crowd this morning. I saw young people that I had in school many years ago. Young folks, I want you to realize, and you're sitting right there when I say this, you're going to realize there are people younger than you. There are people that are in your class. They're dead. They're gone. They got into the wrong stuff. They got in with the wrong crowd. They got in the wrong people. And I have seen young folks that look worse than I do because of what they've got into. Now think about this. Think about being different and how much difference it's going to make in your life. Back in Exodus 12:13, "And the blood shall be for you a token for the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." You young people here at Smyrna are not going to have to worry about some of the things that other people worry about. You're not going to be exposed to them. And that's okay. Those troubles will pass over you. You won't have to deal with that. I had a young man in class tell me one time, and I believed him. I believe him to this day. He said, "Mr. Long, if you'll give me the money and help me sneak off campus, I will come back in 20 minutes with whatever drug you want." So whatever you want, you help me get off campus, you give me the money. And I thought, how in the world does somebody in the 10th grade know that stuff? See, they're not going to be passed over. I don't know what happened to that young man. He may have OD'd, he may be in prison. I don't know. But what happens, young people, is these things pass over you if you follow God's will. Now, you say, "Well, Brother Long, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be thought of as odd." And here's the terrible thing. I don't want to be a nerd. I don't want to be made fun of. Well, if you get in there and you mix in with the world, and you mix in it with too much, here's what happens. Back in Nehemiah 13, Brother Bill probably remembers this. I've tried to develop a sermon on this one too. But in Nehemiah 13:24, their children, now this is talking about the children of Israel after they'd been in captivity, their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. When I was at Riverdale High School in Murfreesboro, I had several students in the gifted program who were of India culture, from India. And I'd ask them every now and then, because this is what teachers do, we don't know any better, but I'd look at them every now and then, I'd say, "How do you say this in India?" And one of the girls looked at me one time and said, "I don't know. I was born here. My grandparents know." You know what they told me about going home to India to visit the grandparents? Didn't understand a word they were saying. What happened? Well, they got so into this culture, and that's all right, that's fine, but they got so into this culture that they lost the original culture. I want to encourage you young people here at Smyrna, be not conformed. Amen? Now, how do you do that? All right, here's where I finally want to focus and finally want to get to where I want to talk about for just a few minutes. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. And we're going to look at this briefly because you people are with me. God bless you. Everybody, as far as I can see, is awake unless you have eyes painted on your lids. I think you're all with me. God bless you. So we're not going to aggravate you. We're not going to wear you out here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Young people here at Smyrna, let no man despise thy youth. Have you ever heard the expression, older folks, "He needs to sow his wild oats"? Yeah, he's a certain age. He needs to get out there and experience life and sow his wild oats. And then he can come home and be all right. Well, now see, there's a problem with that. If you sow wild oats, there's a day of reaping come sometime, isn't there? There could be problems come up there that you don't even realize are there until they pop up. So the Bible says, don't let anybody put you down just because you are young, but be an example in what? Number one, in word. In the language that you use, the way that you talk. I hear expressions used sometimes, and I'm so far behind the curve, I have no idea some of the expressions that young people use. And I ask them every now and then, now what does this mean? Is this the way that people still talk? You know, do they still say these expressions? Well, I don't know. I can't even keep up with it. But now here's the thing. You're going to be tempted to be cool by cursing. Some people think that's the coolest thing in the world. Now, my younger brother, we lost him a few years ago. He was the most stubborn long because he wouldn't even listen to the doctor at all. But we lost him. But he got to a certain point, I think he was 11, 12, and he thought that it was a cool thing to cuss. And so he just cussed, just for no reason whatsoever. And I, being the older brother, took him aside and beat the time out of him. Now that you say, Brother Long, what in the world are you talking about? Well, he didn't cuss again. Not around me. He sure didn't. Maybe later in life he'd let something slip. But your words that you use, Colossians 3:8, now put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is said. I remember one time as I was at a Board of Education meeting, we were having situations that we were going through, and before I began to speak, I noticed something sitting right in front of me recording everything that I said. And so I thought to myself, well, I better watch my little mouth. I better not say anything that they'll come back on me and they'll accuse me of something that I didn't do, because everything that I say is being recorded. Well, guess what, young people? Is everything that we say being recorded in the mind of God? Does God hear everything that I say? I know we lose our temper every now and then. I know we say something that we shouldn't say. But everything that we say, they record. My youngest daughter, who was here with us earlier this morning, she says, Brother Russell, that I'm the last person in the world to use the expression smart aleck. Is that right? I say, so-and-so is a smart aleck. She says, Dad. So, you know, there must be another way to say it. I've got to look that up and see what the modern term is. But she hears it. The kids hear it. They come back. By the way, Brother Bill, let me clue you in on something, because you're a much younger person. But let me clue you in on something. We think sometimes that little kids are not listening at all. Man, they are. My grandkids will come out and ask me a question about the sermon, and I would have thought they're not listening, and they are listening. So the words, parents, grandparents, do we need to pay attention to what we say? So be thou an example in word. Be thou an example in conversation. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Conversation is not what we think a conversation, talking, people talking, but it's the way that you live. The way that you live, everybody observes that. Everybody watches. Everybody has their eyes on you. That can be an incredible blessing. You can preach a great gospel sermon. You good people can preach a great gospel sermon just by living the life that you ought to be living. And a lot of things go into that. A lot of attitudes, a lot of the way that we look. Modesty is becoming a problem, isn't it? One young lady told me one time, said, you can't buy clothes anymore that are modest. I don't believe that. I really don't. Now, I'm not a shopper. I'm not an expert at things like this. But there's got to be decent clothes out there. Women and men alike. 2 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You people here today are dressed modestly. You're modest in your lifestyle, in the way that you live, in the way that you comport yourself. God loves such attitudes and such a way of looking at things. And so the conversation includes modesty, it includes dress, it includes thought. Now that's a worrisome thing. If I told everybody here this afternoon, don't anybody think of a white elephant. What'd you just think of? What's in your mind? Don't anybody do that. I used to use psychology on my students. Don't y'all get mad at me now. But I'd use psychology. I'd say, now don't do this. Be sure you don't look at this particular chapter because people have problems with it. You don't need to read that. What are they going to do? Every one of them going to go home and read it. They're all going to pay attention to it. And so the thoughts, it's hard to control the thoughts. But one thing that God hates, Proverbs 6:18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Be careful what you believe about people. I'm of a certain age. I don't fool with Facebook very much. A lady at the church one time, we were having a singing, and then it got canceled, and then we decided to have it again. And so I put it on the Facebook. Singing is on. And she called me or texted me and said, Brother Long, you need to share that. And I said, I put it on Facebook. She said, you need to share it. I said, how do you share it? I put it on Facebook. And she told me, you had to push a certain button and do that. Well, it goes out there to the whole world. Everybody sees it. But be careful of what you believe that you see on Facebook, that you see on or hear on social media. I would advise this. If someone says something about one of your brothers or sisters here at Smyrna, please check with the person. I did that one time. A fellow told me, and this has been decades ago. Brother James, I'm old enough I can say decades ago. Decades ago, a person came to Charlene and myself and saying, have you heard about so-and-so, what he did? We need to talk to him from the church. We need to do something about this. And I said, you are right. When can you get together with me and we'll go talk to him? Let me know. I don't even know how long ago that's been. He hadn't told me yet. He's died since then, so I guess he's not going to tell me. Let's go check it out. Don't believe what you hear about somebody. Check it out. So be thou an example in word, in conversation, in charity, and in faith. I have seen here at Smyrna today a lot of love. Now I love you, brethren. I really do. I appreciate you. I think the world of you. Charlene and I look at Smyrna. We think back all those years ago. And all the love that we've experienced through the years. I think I've told you once before, but I embarrassed myself here at Smyrna. Because when we first moved to the community, we were driving around. Just driving around, just looking at places and experiencing country life. And we drove by and we saw a sign. And the sign said, Sales Yard. And I thought, bless their hearts. These are good people. I don't have any doubt in the world, but they don't know that you put yard before sale. Yard, sale, yard, sales, yard. All right, who was ignorant? Were they ignorant? No, no. You learn. And boy, I've learned a lot from you good brethren. First John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, what else did Paul tell the young preacher Timothy? Be thou an example in word, in conversation, in purity, charity, faith. And we end it with purity. How can you be pure? Young people, let me bring you to a close here. Let's think about this. How can you be pure in 2019? I'm going to tell you, it was easier in 1983. It was. It was easier when I was a young man. When I was a teenager in the 60s. And this was the 60s. But it was easier. It's not that there are any more sins. Sin is always the same, isn't it? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's always the same. But now here's the problem that you good young people are going to have to deal with. The availability. It's out there more than it ever was. God help you. But here's what you do. You call a younger person in the church. You call Brother Bill. You got a problem. You're wondering, what should I do? Number one, check your Bible. Can't find it in your Bible, call Brother Bill. Brother Bill can't find it, he'll search for it in his Bible. But here's a clue. Psalm 119, verse 9. Click that in your head and think about that. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word. How in the world can you live the right way that you ought to? Pay attention to your Bibles. People are going to tell you differently. Pay attention to the Word of God. There is a difference. That Hispanic gentleman taught me a lesson. I look at that yard differently than I used to. I really do. I can see the difference. I never could see it before, but I can now. Is there a difference? Be different from this world. Dare to be different, because one of these days there will be a difference. Let's close by reading from Matthew 25. Starting with verse 31. Now think about the difference and think about which side you and I are on. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Which side do you and I want to be on? I tell you what, the majority of people are going to go in the wrong direction. They're going to go with the devil. Are you and I going to be different enough? Exodus 32:26. Moses stood in the camp, in the gate of the camp, and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. Who is on the Lord's side? God bless you, good people. I want to come back and visit again one of these days when I can, if the good Lord blesses me to do so. And I'm honored to be here today. Now, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. If there might happen to be anyone among us who needs to obey the gospel in baptism, remember the plan: hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you have a question about any of those steps, you call me or you call Brother Bill. And you say, "I don't understand that particular step." Well, you talk to him about it and get past that, and then decide to do the right thing. If you're an erring child of God needing to make things right, if either be the case, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Is there anybody here that needs to be waited on for the Lord's Supper? Okay. I thought I'd say that because there's no use walking down here. Nobody will need to say anything. Okay.
Thanks for all the attendance.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful number.
Yeah, yeah. 170, that's a good number. Let's see, we're glad to have Tim and Charlene here with us today. And seemed like old times, a long time ago, but that's been a long time ago. I remember it. But see, after this song,
James Ray.
I've ate too much and I'm ready to go to bed. We'll sing the first verse of number 420. This kind of goes along with your sermon there. 420, sing the first verse. Brother James will lead us in our closing prayer.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do not in name of man or creed, do all in the name of the Lord. Do all in His name, do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, we can come here today and worship Thee in spirit and truth. We're thankful we can come here and have this fellowship one with another, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, the things that have been done here today have been according to Your will. We pray, Heavenly Father, we never add Your word and take away from You, Heavenly Father. We ask Thee to be with those who will read, guide and watch over them. Be with the sick, prepare a number, all of those of the household. Be with the widows and orphans, O Heavenly Father. Let us always remember to be comforted. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that we depart this building, that Thou would be with us. You guide us in all the truth, O Heavenly Father. We know we have the truth before us, the Holy Bible. And it is the power of Yours to save and to salvation everyone who believes in You. Guide us in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.